Praise the Lord. The message number 300, and the title of this message is God's Calling Requirement, Part 26. And we will learn from this message to serve God and also doing His will. We will go to the book of Romans, and we will go to chapter 12, and we will learn from this chapter how we can serve God and how we do His will and how we respond to the requirements of God that He had called us to serve Him. Before we start, let's pray. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. We come before in the name of Jesus. We ask You, Lord, to bless this wonderful time. Anoint us, O Lord, as we listen to Your word. We trust You, Lord, that this word of Yours will help us as You send it on time to lead us to do the right things. I pray, Lord, that everyone will be attentive to hear the instruction, to apply it in his life, and it will be a source of service and benefit to him. I pray for more workers, more servants of Yours to be raised up, more people to raise up as a service, Lord, the provider, to be a blessing to others. Oh God, take this message with the Holy Spirit and make it reach those who are waiting for it and those who are in need to listen it. Oh God, I pray it will be a source of blessing, encouragement, healing, help, salvation, wholeness, hope to everyone this word of Yours will reach. We thank You, Lord, and we bless You. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 12, and I will read verse 1 and 2. He say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be proved what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And here the initiative, here the way how to serve the Lord. We need to persevere in offering the parts of our body to God as a living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they bring rams and goat and bulls. They offer it to God. But here, with the blood of Jesus, God requires of us to offer the parts of our bodies, from head to toe, from mind, eyes, mouth, heart, stomach, limbs, feet, hands, finger, ears, toes, all to be offered to God. As we endeavor to offer them, as we are willing to offer the parts of our body to God, then the next point that we need not to conform to the pattern of this world, whatever the people around us are doing, we don't follow what they do, but be willing to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And how we do that? We go to the Bible, we study the Bible, and we get thought and ideas from the Bible, and we come to our minds, remove all the principles, remove the wrong ways of this world, we remove the tradition and cultural thing that against the word of God, and instead of them we put the word of God, and we commit ourselves to the principles that we learn from God's word and apply them in our life. In this case, if we persevere in doing that, then we will come to know what is the will of God in this matter, what is the plan of God in this matter, and we start to see things in a clearer way. And that's what he said, Apostle Paul. And then you may be proved what is that is good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Of course, the will of God is something that is strange to the world, strange to what we had been adopted from our cultures and our background, that when we were away from Christ, when we discover the will of God step by step, we find the will of God is contradict and is strange to what the people around us adopt and live. But that is the way to serve God. If you want to serve the Lord, we need to be willing to offer the parts of our bodies, not to follow the pattern of these worldly things around us, and we will be transformed when we are willing to renew our minds with the new thoughts, new ideas that come with the help of the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. We will be transformed by renewing our mind, our minds with scriptural things. And Apostle Paul, he go forward and say in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Here is a call for humility. Every one of us should not think of himself bigger than his size. God wants us to be humble so we can associate with one another. As we are in the church, we are the body of Christ. As we humble down, humility will lead us to serve one another in the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5 say, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. My hands is not for me, but for others. My feet is not for me, for others. The same to the rest of the parts of our body, not for us, but for one another. Not for me, not for you, but for us, for one another." When we are transformed and in harmony with God and with one another, and already knowing and willing to live the will of God, then the Holy Spirit will fill us and bestow on us spiritual gifts, so that all the parts of our body will be functioning for the glory of God. This is what will be happening. As we are willing, then the Holy Spirit will fill us, and all the parts of our body will be functioning, not with our talents and with our strength, but will be functioning with the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the strength that the Holy Spirit give us, with the power that the Holy Spirit give us, and the Holy Spirit is God. In book of Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, this was the Lord's promise. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they will be my people." God had promised that he will write his word in the inward parts of our bodies. What he mean here, he will write his word in our brains, in our eyes, ears, mouth, tongues, heart, arms, hand, finger, chest, breast, abdomen, legs, feet, and toes. All the rest of the parts of our body will have the word of God, the Holy Spirit, function on them. God will do that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, giving us the gift of the Spirit, that every part of our bodies will be functioning to achieve and do the will of God. Every part will know its assignments in the new life that Christ had prepared for us to live. And Apostle Paul proceeded forward and started to speak about the kinds of spiritual gifts. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. See here, when there's humility and when we are willing to go with God's will, see, the Holy Spirit will give us different gifts, and these gifts not for us, we will not boast on it, but we will share it, we will develop it as the Holy Spirit given to us. The Holy Spirit gifts given by the Holy Spirit is for the benefit of the members of the body of Christ. It needed from us to develop them and to use them willingly to serve God, to share it with one another. And we will have here a brief description of this gift, prophecy, that we declare the will of God and what God's about to do. Ministering, serving others, and help them to meet their needs. Teaching to precisely describe to the people the scripture and how to apply them in their lives. Exhorting to encourage the people to continue to walk in the way of faith and to persevere in walking in it. Giving to contribute to the need of others. Ruling to lead others and help them to reach and achieve the will of God. All these gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we humble down ourselves, as we are willing to give the parts of our body, as we are transform and we had experienced the will of God, we come to know the Holy Spirit will bestow on us spiritual gift so that we will serve others, showing mercy to attend and help those who are in trouble or in crisis. With all these services, the Holy Spirit will help us to achieve that and put in our heart the true love of God that will lead us to achieve and live and interact toward the people around us with the will of God. Apostle Paul, further down in Romans chapter 12, start to speak about love. And the Holy Spirit has given us the spiritual gift. As we are transformed, then love will operate in us as a character and attitude of a service provider. We will be a service provider and we'll be a blessing to others. Therefore, love is essential for our life and attitude. We'll go and read from verse 1 to verse 21. Then we will describe them briefly. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kind, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality, bless them which persecute thee. Which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all. If it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And here the description of what Paul says to the Romans, and the word of God says to us today. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Love should be sincere, pure, and without hypocrisy. We need to check our motives. We are called and supposed to be service providers. Every one of us should ask himself what for he is doing these things, what for we are doing this service, this ministry. Is he or she doing that for God or for the benefit of others or for his own benefit? Love should be doing that for God and for the benefit of others. Love should hate what is evil and keep what is good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 to verse 22 say, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And this is a pure love, you know. Pure love and sincere love. When you prove the things, you pick up the right things, the good things, and to throw away and to hate and to abstain from evil deeds. You know, in the life of the church, as we are persevering in doing God's will, and through the life that we had experienced in Christ as a church, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and God had led us to discover a lot of truth, a lot of secrets of God, and things pertain to His will. So, along the years, we have learned a lot of things good, and we had discovered wrong things. We had kept the good things, and we had thrown away bad things. When we had discover the good things, the Holy Spirit have taught us to stand firm and to persevere in preserving the truth that the Lord had revealed to us. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain of all appearances of evil, cleave to that which is good, abhor that which is evil. So here, the true love, not only I will discover the good things and keep them, but I need to hate the bad things. Jude chapter 2 verse 23 say, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, anything linked to that evil things, I have nothing to do with it. I need to be aware of the evil, avert from it, hate it, go away from it. Even something touch it, I have nothing to do with that thing because I know it will be harmful to me and it will be harmful to other people. This is true love. When we stand for the truth, it is a true love when not to compromise. It is a true love not to show respect for a person but to show respect to the Word of God. This is a true love to hate evil. And we are taught a lot of things. We are taught to use our finances carefully to avoid debt. Debt is evil. Borrowing is evil. And this is love. We are taught to be careful about how to dress to avoid exposing the part of our body. And this is love. Nakedness is evil. We are taught to be careful about eating habits, to spend wisely on food. We are taught to cook at homes. These are simple things. To avoid eating in a restaurant, to avoid wasting money, and that is love. Love holds on to good and avoid all kind of evil. Verse 10, say, be kind, be kindly affectionate one another with a brotherly love, in honoring, preparing one another. Here again, speaking about motive, speaking about true love toward one another. Are we doing what we are doing to satisfy our selfishness or for the good of others? You say here, in honoring, preferring one another, and in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, selfish motive. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If we are not in the center of God's will, our love is impure and selfish. We need to forfeit our privileges in certain time in order to honor God and be a source of service and blessing to others. We need to forfeit our privilege in order to do it. We do nothing out of selfishness and vain conceit. When he say consider others or consider the things of others, in NIV say consider others better than yourself, what he mean here is that we should not only thinking about ourselves, but we need also to help others and to lead them and to care and to cater and care for their needs. Verse 11. No, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We need to overcome our tiredness and serve God with zeal and enthusiasm. We need to avoid laziness and be willing to persevere even when we are tired, even when the battle is heavy, even we are knocked down, but we need not to forget our responsibilities. Fervent in spirit, doing it joyfully. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in the tribulation, contributing instant in, continuing instant in prayer. Certain times we are having hard time in the trials. That's what you say here, patient in tribulation. And certain time the trial that we are passing through, it came out because we were slack in the past, and because we have done wrong, and we had put ourselves in a wrong scenarios and wrong situations. For example, Abraham made wrong choices when he listened to his wife Sarah, and he got Hagar, and from her came Ishmael, and for God to cleanse him from her and from Ishmael, it was a very painful procedures. It took us painful procedures when it comes to our emotion. God works through very painful procedure in the life of Abraham to make him cleanse from Hagar and Ishmael. In the same way, we need to be patient in the tribulation when God is taking us to cleanse us from things and tangle us while we are journeying in this life, when we are doing our own will and not the will of God. Rejoice in hope. We need to be joyful, having the hope and keeping the smile, trusting God that He will be the one to take us out of it. We should be assured and ensure, trusting the Lord, that mountains will be climbed and trials will be passed through faithfulness in prayer and in waiting upon God to make a way and get us out of it. Faithful in the prayer. This is the backbone that will lead us valiantly, victoriously through each and every battle. Mountains in front of you, you pray. Cry to God. Kneel down more. Fast and pray. God will hear your petition and prayer. And verse 13, it says distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Through all this painful procedure, we need to be still service providers to cater for the need of others, to help those from the household of God, the saints, and help them in their needs so that they will continue in their service and walk with God. Somebody is backing us up and we are in need, had contributed to us. We need to contribute to others faithfully, trusting the Lord that He will be the one to provide all our needs in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 14 says, bless those which persecute you. Bless and curse not. It is not our job to curse or fight, but we need to stand firm and endure. We are called to protect ourselves, but not to revenge. We need to do what we are required from us to do, and we should not do the thing that God had not told us to do. We don't have time for cursing and revenging. We are running out of time. That's why we don't curse, we don't retaliate, we don't revenge, because we have other lot of things to do. In verse 15, it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We need to rejoice with people when they are rewarded, and we need to support those people when they are weeping and they are in trials. If somebody have victory, we rejoice because it is God's victory. And when somebody is in trouble, we need to go forward with hands and feet, helping that brother and sister. Verse 16, it says, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condition to men of law. Instead, be not wise in your own conceit. Be of the same mind, he's with one another. With different minds, we cannot be in harmony. We have to have the mind of Christ so that we can be of same mind one to another. Lot and Abraham separated because they were not of one mind. Lot had different mind. Abraham had the mind of Christ. Our minds must be transparent and consistent with God's word and instruction. You know, sometimes when we walk with God, sometimes people come with their own plans and different mind. Mind not high things. They come with high things, other plans. And they have with their price, with their selfishness, with their worldliness. And whilst we are walking, their plans will be discovered. You know, and we find ourselves that we cannot walk because as we carry the mind of Christ, they don't carry the mind of Christ, then there will be some sort of distance and they move away. And that's why in this time, when there's crisis in such a way, we need to search the scriptures for God's direction. God's word will show us His will and will let us to move in it. Those who want to come with us and that will of God, they, we can find them with us. And those who are not willing to follow God, then right and left we look, they are no more there. Those who are not in harmony with God's word, they will certainly mislead us. Therefore, we need to avoid them. And they will be moving away, and God will spare us troubles. And God will bring with us people who have the same mind. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. We must not waste time, you know, revenging from one another. You know, we need to use our time to do God's will, you know. In verse 18 say, if it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peacefully with all men. It is painstaking to live in harmony and with peace. And also, as we have read in verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, sometimes people, they may misunderstand the situation. And that's why Paul says in Second Corinthians chapter 8 verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. So we need to be very tactfully living our life and dealing with the crisis and issues of life. We need to keep peace, but we should not compromise. We need to protect ourselves, but we should not revenge. We take pain to do God's will. We do honest things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. We take what is required and leave everything else. In verse 19 and 20, he said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Again, God calls us to forgive, not for the sake only for forgiveness, but we really don't have time to revenge. Do not take revenge. God will deal with those wicked. We don't need to deal with them. It is not our ministry to revenge. God will be the one to revenge. We need to take care of other things. The enemy, the people who hate God and who persecute us, should not be the one to revenge of them, but should be given the gospel. We need to give them the gospel. That's what he said. Therefore, if the enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. We spend in reaching new people. We spend time, finances, effort, money, and food. We may feed them and give them something to drink. People, you know, those who are enemies of God, they are our enemies. What was the solution? We give them the gospel. We feed them with God's word. We spend on them. We consecrate our life to serve them. People, those days, the time of when Paul wrote this, he say, after, but he said that you feed him, you feed your enemy, and give him a drink. He said, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. At that time, people those days used to share the fire in times of cold. There was no match. No matches. They will borrow match and they go and buy match. No. You must ignite a fire, and it is some sort of difficult procedure. You have to use something to friction. So, when they go and ask fire, they will be given wood or coals that already fire in them, and they will carry it. They will carry the coal to their houses to light the fire by a vessel they carry on their heads. They will carry it on their head and they walk. So when he say here, in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, not to burn him, but to give him a heat. In the same way, giving them the gospel to those who hate God and us, we will warm the heart of our enemy. They will be comforted. They will start to love God, and they will be one day, sooner, early or late, they will be workers with us. Let's come to the Lord now in a prayer. In verse 21, Apostle Paul says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, there's much temptation to revenge, to fight, to go astray, move away from the plan of God. And the devil will try his best to tempt us, to shift us away from doing the things of God. But the Holy Spirit is our guide. The fire of the Holy Spirit in us is to propel us to move forward in our walk, to serve Him, and to be a blessing and service to provider to others. As we are committing ourselves to offer the parts of our bodies as a living sacrifice, let's come in prayer. Tell Him, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I surrender my will to You. I am willing, Lord, to be changed and transformed, removing all the other principles in the life of all of mine that I was living and practicing. Oh God, I pray that your promise in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, that you will write your laws in the inward parts of my bodies from head to toe, God. Holy Spirit, come and let all the cells and organs and the parts of my body will be function for your glory. Oh God, I pray for my brothers and my sister who commit their life to serve you in such a way, you bless them beyond measure and sustain them and give them good health and strength and provide for them, oh God, cleanse them from sin. Even I pray for those among them who had been entangled with the plans of devil, had been sidetracked by evil, oh God, and they want to overcome evil with evil. I pray right now, Lord, enlighten their mind, make them awake and shift them back to the plans of yours, oh God. Oh Lord, I pray you raise up more servant of yours to serve you. Thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. Oh God, Lord, take this message with the Holy Spirit to reach those who are in need of your words and your will. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.